So we all know how important having a website is for your business, especially, you know, if you're a small business, local business, anything like that, you need the website. But there's a problem because new websites are just notoriously tough to rank in Google searches, especially if you're short on money or you're short on time. But there is a way to do it as long as you can focus on the really important stuff and just throw out, forget about the rest that's just going to trip you up and distract you. So in this podcast episode, I'm going to let you in on some secrets, show you the ropes, what you need to do to check off your list that's going to get you the best results in the least amount of time. And everything I'm going to talk about here is free too. So in the end, you're going to have my shortcut to ranking in Google searches so you can start getting found way faster, even if your competition is pretty stiff. And everything I'm going to talk about here today, all this stuff has been tested by some pretty big names in the SEO world. And I've actually seen these tactics work firsthand by my own clients and my students. So here we go. I'm web strategist Wes McDowell, and this is The Profitable Website, the podcast where I share all my secrets to use your website and what's working now in digital marketing to reach more people and make a deeper impact with your prospects so you can supercharge your growth, eliminate the stress of inconsistent income, and build a business you love to show up for every single day. In return, I promise to show up to support you on every step of your journey. Let's put your website to work. All right, welcome back to the show. Really happy to have you back. And if you've got like 30 seconds to spare, I would really appreciate it if you could take the time to leave an honest review on Apple Podcasts. That's how, you know, we get found by other people just like you and how we can keep growing this thing. So it would really mean a lot to me if you could do that. And since we're kind of approaching the end of 2020, going into 2021, now is the time for you to really focus on your website and everything you need to do to get it ready for the new year so you can come out even better. You know, hopefully 2020 was not too hard on you. I know it's been a roller coaster ride for sure. And hopefully 2021 has better things in store for all of us. But you know, hoping is one thing, taking action is quite another. So what I want you to do, if you haven't done it yet, is go and register for my free training masterclass. It's called How to Create and Launch Your Own Profitable Client-Generating Website. And it's going to show you everything you need, all the pages you need, the pages you don't need. Because the thing is, a lot of people focus on all the wrong things on a website. They make it needlessly elaborate. We're not going to do that. We want something really simple that's going to clearly communicate your value to your ideal clients. And I'm going to show you exactly how to do it. And then once you've got that piece down, how easy it is to actually do it yourself using WordPress and a free WordPress plugin. And now that page builder is nothing cheesy. It's not like, sorry, I'm not trying to talk about Wix in a bad way, but it's nothing like that. It's very robust. You can do just about anything you want with it. It's called Elementor. I show you exactly how to do it at the end of the training. So anyway, if you want your hands on it, just go to wesmcdowell.com/training. And then as soon as you sign up, I email you your access to that video immediately so you can get started on it today. Once again, go to wesmcdowell.com/training for that masterclass. All right. So you came for some SEO tips for how to rank a new website today, and I've got the goods for you. So if you have a new or, you know, newish kind of website that does not have that authority built up on it yet that really helps you rank in Google searches, but you know that that's what you want. You know people are searching for what you do and you want to come up there. So I accept that challenge and I want to help you. So let's just get right into the steps that are going to get you found. So first of all, I know that you are a company, a business that sells something. You sell a service, you sell a product, but here's the thing. In order for any of this to work and for it to work well and for it to work fast, you also need to think of yourself and your business as a trusted source of information on your topic. In other words, you need to go with a content marketing focus on your website because you know what is really hard to rank, especially on a new website? Home pages, sales pages, anything that's meant to make a sale. But guess what actually has a much better chance of ranking quickly? Helpful, actionable content, right? You know, think of articles and videos that help your ideal customer or client solve a problem they're having. Now, there's actually a book that I read fairly recently called They Ask, You Answer. And this book goes really in depth into how you can do this right. So basically the gist is the guy who wrote it was a pool man. You know, he had a pool business and he started realizing that the more he could answer common questions that people had, because when people are buying a pool, you know, this is a big decision. And whenever I think about people buying a pool, I always just think of Clark Griswold in Christmas Vacation and how he was super into it, right? He wanted to know all the answers. And anytime anyone is looking for what you can provide them, even if it's not as, you know, fun as buying a pool, people do have questions about it. They have certain concerns. They're typing certain things into Google. So the more you can be there showing up in those search results to answer those questions for people, the more people are going to get to know you and start to see you and your business as the go-to experts, the guides that are going to solve their problems for free. And then they will take that and run with it. And they'll say, okay, if they know this much and they're giving this much information for free, I think I want to work with them, or I think I want to buy from them. They seem to really know what they're talking about. Okay, so we know now how important it is to create content that's going to attract those ideal customers, those ideal clients to your website to begin with. But even if you're going with a content focus, if your website is brand new, it's going to be really hard. It's going to be an uphill battle to try to rank for really big keywords right out of the gate, right? So remember, we always need to crawl before we can walk, and we need to prove our worth to Google with smaller, less searched on keywords. We need to show Google that we're getting traffic from those smaller words, and we're getting that traffic and we're keeping it before they're gonna give us the keys to dominating the bigger, tougher keyword phrases. So what you need to do is go for keywords that are still valuable, but a little more niche and a little more specific. So what I'm talking about here is what's known as long tail keywords. So, you know, keeping with our pool installation example, rather than trying to go right for pool companies straight out of the gate, you might want to go with something like concrete pool companies or in-ground pool installation companies, something like that that's a little more niche, it's a little less broad, but there's also going to be a lot fewer people competing for keywords like that. So you have a better shot. Basically, think of yourself as a bigger fish in a smaller pond if you do this strategy right. Now, of course, I have a tool for you here. You know, I'm not just going to leave you on your own to find these words. There's actually a free web tool called UberSuggest, and I'll put that in the show notes, which is a really powerful and free way to find the keywords that are going to be the most profitable for your business. So what you do is you just go to UberSuggest. You know, it's a little hard on a podcast for me. I can't really show you exactly what to do, but basically you're going to go there and you're going to type in the keyword phrase that you think you want to rank for, you know, probably a couple of them. And then it's going to show you a whole list of suggestions that they have for you. And it's going to show you things like the difficulty score. It's going to show you how many people are actually searching for that term every single month. And the cool thing is too, you can, if you're a local business, you can actually narrow it down to your local area. So it's gonna show you, so again, with the pool example, if you're trying to go for concrete pool construction company, something like that, it's not just gonna show you how many people are searching for that worldwide, because obviously that wouldn't be very useful for you, right? So it's, if you, let's say you're in Orlando, you would just type in Orlando as the constraint of where you want to search for, and it's going to show you how many people in the Orlando area now are searching for that phrase. And this is awesome because it lets you really approach it from a place of knowledge and rather than guessing. Because honestly, I'm telling you, when I used to work with clients with this kind of thing, they were asking to rank for some pretty specific keywords that once we did the research, we found no one was searching for those keywords. So you want to know exactly what people are really typing in, and it's not always what you think it is. So you're going to go in there, you're going to find some of these long tail keyword opportunities, and these keywords, these long tail keywords, are basically going to become the basis for all that content you create. And you'll need to optimize each post that you write or each video you make for one of those keyword phrases. So speaking of posts and videos and all that stuff, what type of content should you be creating for all the keyword phrases that you find as all these great opportunities? So I don't know if you watch me on YouTube, but I have a YouTube channel called Wes McDowell over there. And I recently did a video that goes over the three different types of posts that you should be creating and how long each of these posts should be to get the highest potential for ranking them. And basically, I recommend three types of articles. And when you use these three types of articles together, it's known as the content cluster method. So specifically, what you should start with are a handful of really in-depth, what I call pillar posts, each being, again, really in-depth look at one of your broad topics. So for example, I might do, as you know, a web strategist, I might do one pillar post all about website optimization, right? Then another one about content marketing, and then another one all about paid advertising. And again, each of these pillar posts is extremely in-depth. They're very long. They're over 2,000 words, sometimes up to 10,000 words. Now, don't let that scare you. They don't have to be that long, but I will tell you, I'll be a little, you know, voice of reason here. If we're talking about ranking a new site quickly, you do want to go for very in-depth, but I should say without being fluffy. What you don't want to do is that thing where you were in school and you had to write a 10-page paper, so you started, you know, writing, you know, double space, you know, smaller margins just to kind of pad it out. You don't want to do that, and you don't want to include extra words that aren't valuable. So this all has to be extremely valuable information. Think complete, relevant, and in-depth. So let's say you've got several of those pillar posts. The thing you want to do after that is create what I call keyword posts. You know, each one of these takes a deeper dive into a subtopic from one of those pillar posts. Are you with me here still? So if I had that pillar post all about content marketing, for instance, I would then want to create a keyword post specifically about video marketing, and possibly one about podcasting. And then basically have each one of those keyword posts cover one specific area within content marketing. So, and then the final step here for the content cluster method is you would want to create shorter posts, what I call answer posts, which, you guessed it, answer a common question that your ideal customers not only have on their minds, but something they actually type into Google. And you want to make sure all of these different types of articles, the pillar posts, the keyword posts, and the answer posts, all of these types of articles link to each other wherever it makes sense within the article. So as an example, that content marketing pillar post is probably going to naturally talk about podcasting within it. It's probably going to have a little subheadline about podcasting. And then when you mention it, you want to link to the podcasting keyword article. And then within the podcasting article, you might want to link to one of your answer posts that answers the question, what equipment do I need to start a podcast? So when you do this right and your various articles are all linking to each other in a really well thought out way that provides a really good user experience for your site visitors, it's going to keep people around for way longer. And then Google is going to start to take notice, and they're going to see that you and your website are an authority on your topic, and you deserve to rank for your overall topics and for your more individual keywords. Okay, so hopefully you're still with me here. In that tip, you know, the content cluster method is not exactly super easy to pull off, right? It takes work. So let's take a little break and do an easy one next. So this one is super easy. If you've got a WordPress website, all you need to do is install, it's called Rank Math. It's a plugin, it's free. And basically what that is, it's an all-in-one SEO tool that's gonna show you how well you're doing whenever you add a new page or post. And it's gonna give you a little checklist of what you've actually done right and what you still need to add or what you need to do still to give yourself the best possible chance of ranking each individual post or even in each individual page. Now, this plugin makes it really easy to add your keywords to your post titles and your URLs, which is also really important in ranking. So in addition to just giving you those checklists and giving you those real-time suggestions of what it is you should be doing, the Rank Math plugin also lets you do something that's really cool, it's really important, which is you want to optimize each post for the click. So one really easy and powerful thing you can do for extra SEO power is to make your search listing much more enticing than the other ones around it. And it lets you do this by giving you a really easy way to edit and craft a really irresistible title and description. And since most business owners actually treat the title and description of the search listing more or less as an afterthought, you know, if they ever think about it at all, you should be in a really great position to just kind of swoop in with something really great there. So ideally, when you're thinking about your title and description, and by the way, I do want to make it clear what I'm talking about here. So imagine you're doing a Google search for something. Again, let's just say, you know, pool installation Orlando. What comes up then are all the listings, all the search listings. So we're talking about that title and the description there. That's what I'm talking about right now. So within that title and description, ideally, you want to include your keyword phrase that you want to rank for, and some kind of a solid benefit or a unique selling proposition. And ideally, you want to do both of these things in the headline. You want to include the keyword phrase and some reason, some benefit, something unique in your headline. And then you want to talk about a few more benefits or reasons to click through in that description. Okay, so let's look at an example of, let's say you are writing some content marketing articles, and one of them is all about how to start a podcast or what equipment you need to start a podcast. So what I'm looking at right here, I did a real search for what do I need to start a podcast. So the first thing that's coming up is basically just it says how to start a podcast, a complete step-by-step tutorial. And then the description says what to podcast about, equipment you'll need, how to record and edit, how to promote your podcast. So these are very, and the other ones I'm looking at are pretty similar to this. They're basically just showing the subheadings within the article. And some of them, it's even just like the first sentence of the article. So with these headlines and descriptions, I'm getting what the article's about, but there's really nothing enticing in there that makes me want to click on this one versus any of the others that would come up. So these headlines are pretty utilitarian, and the description is, again, just an excerpt from the article itself. So I think there's a lot of room for improvement there. We can do better. So what about this instead? If the title were to say, "The Ultimate Newbies Podcasting Equipment Checklist," and then the description would say, "Starting a podcast is exciting, but the gear can be confusing. This handy checklist will tell you exactly what you need without spending any more than you have to." And I know you're just listening to this, so I'll repeat it. The title again is "The Ultimate Newbies Podcasting Equipment Checklist." And the description says, "Starting a podcast is exciting, but the gear can be confusing. This handy checklist will tell you exactly what you need without spending any more than you have to." So can you see why that's better? Can you see why that is more enticing as something to click on? You know, whenever you use words like ultimate, checklist, things like that, and then hitting on the fact that we're eliminating confusion and saving you money makes that listing much more clickable in the eyes of most people. And here's where it gets interesting. So if you were to get more clicks than Google expects you to get at your position in the search results, even if it's just a little fraction more, they're gonna see that, they're gonna take notice, and they're gonna start ranking you higher as a result. So let me explain that again. So let's say you're at number 25 in the search results, okay? Google will expect a certain percentage of people to click through to that. And if you're at number 25, that percentage is gonna be very, very small. It's probably gonna be much less than 1%, right? But the point is they have a number in mind. If you can improve on that number by having a really good, a well-crafted title and description, they're going to see, okay, we expected them to get 0.25% of the traffic, but they're getting 0.5% of the traffic. That's better than we thought. Let's bump them up a few spots probably. And then you keep doing that because your description is better than the rest. And at a certain point, you're going to get to page one and then possibly position one. And in case you're wondering where you input this great new title and great description, it's really easy when you have Rank Math installed. You just input all this text right in a sidebar within WordPress while you're writing your article. Okay, so now that you've successfully gotten that click, thanks to your new improved title and description, now the challenge is keeping people there, keeping them on your site. You know, dwell time, which is what Google calls how long people stay on any of your pages, and bounce rate, which is the percentage of people who come to a page and then bounce off of it without digging any further into your website. Dwell time and bounce rate are two really important factors that Google looks at when they're measuring how good your content is. So what you want here, obviously, is a high dwell time, people staying on your site a while, and a low bounce rate, which is a low percentage of people getting to your page and just hitting the back button. So how do we do that? How do we kind of basically hack these two metrics? Well, assuming that your content is actually good to start with, because real time here, real talk, let's face it, no tricks or hacks that I'm going to tell you today are going to save subpar content. So if you write your articles from a place of bare minimum effort just to get people to click through, this isn't going to work. Okay, so the content has to be good to start with, right? We know that. And then you want to enhance that already great content with things that are there designed to keep people interested, like great images and text that's broken up into really easy to read chunks. So rather than a big wall of text that'll make most people just give up because it looks like a term paper, what you want to do instead is, you know, write short paragraphs, use a lot of headings, subheadings, bullet lists, and use bold or italicized text to emphasize really important points that you want to make sure people are getting. And when you use all these elements, your content starts to look really easy to get through. It's easier to skim, which is how, you know, the lion's share, I'd say like 90% of people are going to consume your stuff. You know, people on websites, they're not there to read, they're going to skim. It's just how it goes. So we've got really well-formatted text for the web, as well as great images. And while we're talking about images, one quick extra pro tip for you here. What you definitely want to do is add what we call alt text to every image. And that alt text should be should include keyword phrases that you're trying to rank for. And then if you have multiple images on a page, you want to do one with your primary phrase you want to rank for. And then the rest of them, you want to use alt text. That's just closely related phrases for extra ranking power. So, and if you're doing this in WordPress, they make it really easy to add that alt text whenever you upload an image. And for anyone who doesn't know what alt text is, it's really basically just there to tell Google what the image is, because I actually think Google is getting better now. They've got some machine learning where they can tell what's inside of an image, but it's still not all the way there. It's not all worked out. So alt text is basically you telling Google what the content of the image is. Okay, so now that we know what dwell time is, let's talk about a really good way to increase it even more by doing something that is near and dear to me, using video. I love video. So when you create a video and then you embed it in your post, your blog post, you're helping yourself rank in a few different ways. So first of all, you're keeping people interested for a longer period of time on your page. So that's the dwell time piece. And if you're hosting it on YouTube, and then you're embedding it on your site, and you're using your keywords in the title and description of that video, what you're doing here is you're sending really strong signals to Google at the same time. Because some of you probably already know this, but Google owns YouTube, so they love cross-pollinating their different platforms. So in other words, if both your blog post and your video are trying to rank for the same keyword phrase, and then you embed the video on your post, you're making it much more likely that the post will rank in Google and that your video is going to rank inside of YouTube. So whenever you write a new post, I would love to see you turn that post into a video okay? And then you embed that on your post page, letting your visitors basically decide at that point if they would rather watch the video or read the article. And with video, you do get the extra benefit of letting people get to know you. And really that's only if you're on camera in any way. It's not gonna work so much if it's like a whiteboard style doodle video or anything like that. But if you're on camera talking and teaching, people are gonna get to know you, which is just a fantastic way to build trust at scale. Okay, so moving right along, Google has definitely made it very clear over the past few years about how important it is for your site to be fully optimized for mobile and people on the go. So if you want to make sure you're in the best possible position to rank, you need to run Google's mobile-friendly test, which can be found. I'll leave a link to that in the description, but it's a long thing. What I would do is just Google Page Speed Insights, and then you'll be able to find it. So what you want to do is you want to go there, you want to run the Page Speed Insights, and it's going to show you exactly how you stack up, right? It's going to give you a score. And here, the thing to remember here is it's kind of a trade-off, right? So it's really hard to get a perfect score or anything in the 90s if you have any kind of big images going on in your website. So you really want to make sure you're balancing everything out and you're making sure that certain things should probably be hidden on mobile. So if you have a lot of images on your desktop site, you can easily hide those on mobile, especially if you're using something like Elementor. It makes it easy to toggle between your different views and make little tweaks for mobile. That's going to help you out a lot. But when you run the insights, it's going to show you a list of things that you need to do. Now, I will warn you, some of these things you can do yourself, but a lot of them, unless you're a developer, you're going to be scratching your head. Like, what do they even mean by that? So this may be a case where you need to go on something like Upwork and hire an SEO, a developer who can just work through that list. And generally you can get this kind of work done for well under $100. It really just depends on how big your list is. But just so we're clear here, over half of searches are done on mobile nowadays. But here's the thing that's even worse about it. So if Google's determined your page is not mobile friendly, the problem is they don't just discount it for mobile searches. They'll actually discount your entire site or your entire page rather on desktop and mobile. So you definitely want to make sure all of these things are worked out. Okay, so next up, this is really only if you're in that process of planning your website and you don't have your domain name yet. If you do have a domain name already, this isn't gonna be that much of a help for you unless you're considering tossing it out and starting fresh. But if you're going for a brand new one, you might wanna consider what we call an exact match or a partial match domain name. Now I'm gonna level with you, this is a little controversial, and I'm not saying you definitely wanna do this, because the problem with it is, it can look a little spammy if you do it wrong. But again, I'm just here to deliver the facts, and the results don't lie here. Websites with keywords in them, in the domain name, they do have a higher chance of ranking. So an exact match domain would be something like, if you're a plumber in Modesto, California, let's say, if your domain name were plumberinmodesto.com, that would be an exact match domain because you're trying to rank for plumber in Modesto, that phrase. Now, an exact match domain is not branded, which isn't ideal, right? It doesn't look great in a search. It looks a little spammy, but it would have a really good chance of ranking for that phrase. So should you go for something like that? I would say probably not, but it's your choice. What I would recommend instead, what I recommend more here, would be what we call a partial match domain, something that still has your keywords, or at least some of your keywords, but it's also branded. So something like mikesmodestoplumbing.com. You know, obviously that still has Modesto Plumbing in it, which is still gonna help you rank for things like Plumber in Modesto or Modesto Plumber. Even though it says plumbing, it's still going to help because Google does understand overall topics and they understand the correlation between plumber and plumbing. So I would always recommend a partial match domain over exact match, unless it's a scenario where it actually doesn't look spammy. And this really comes more into play if you have just a more keyword-rich business name. Like if your business name were Modesto Plumbers, then that would be just fine because that would still be branded. All right, so those are some of my best ways for you to start ranking your new website as quickly as possible. Now, I know there's a little bit of work involved here. I never promised it was going to be easy, but this is going to give you your best shot at ranking there sooner than later. And it's all just really good best practice stuff anyway. So I want you to get started on that. But first, we do have a listener question. And I do want to remind you guys, if you have a question for me regarding this episode or any other episode, or just anything to do with your website, with your digital marketing, anything you want to ask me, please do just go to Instagram and DM me your question at Wes McDowell. And this week's question comes from Johnny Photography on Instagram. And he says, how important is it to have as many reviews on Google to get on the first page of Google results? Now, this is a great question because, you know, obviously when you're doing local searches, what's the thing that pops up near the top? It's the map pack listings. And that's actually my favorite place for any local business to show up because it just gets much more of a visual treatment and it's much more eye-catching and it does show star reviews, which is really powerful. Now, star reviews are very powerful in terms of persuading people that they want to call you or go to your website versus everybody else's. So it's really important to have a good number of five-star reviews because here's the thing, there's two elements at play here, right? There's the number of reviews and the overall star rating. And people do a little quick calculation when they're trying to decide between those three listings, like which one they want to go with. Because the thing is, they're not always going to go for the one in the top position. It shows up 1, 2, 3, but let's say number three has double the amount of reviews and they're 5 stars. And the number one listing only has, you know, half of that. So the number three listing's probably going to get the edge there. So that's why you want to solicit these reviews whenever you can. Always ask people to leave them once you've helped them. That's the best time to do it when they just had a great experience working with you, right? But Johnny's question was actually though, how important are these reviews, are these star ratings to showing up on the first page of Google? Here's what I'll say, like even people that are super experts in Google rankings don't know exactly how important these are. I've heard everything from they're really important. I haven't heard that from a lot of people. Mostly what people say is they're not that important in terms of ranking, meaning just because you have the most and the best reviews does not guarantee you a spot in the top three. In fact, when you do a search for just about anything, you'll see a lot of discrepancy. You will see that sometimes the number one result has far fewer than the number three result. Sometimes people that don't rank there at all have the most reviews. So it's not the most important thing to rank. However, don't discount it. Don't sleep on it. Because again, even if you were to show up there and you had a bad showing in your reviews, you're still not gonna get the click-through. So you wanna do them, you wanna get them as many as possible, but they're not really going to help you rank there all that much. They are a factor, but they're not one of the biggest factors. The biggest factors are still the proximity of the searcher to your location, keywords in the business name. Unfortunately, that's still a thing that they look at. And then it's also all the things like how well is your Google My Business description filled out? Does your website have all those extra little indicators on it? So there's, and also citations, right? You want to build as many citations across the web as you can. And again, a citation is simply any mention of your name, address, and phone number, usually on directories, things like Yelp, review sites, even your Facebook page or YouTube page, anything like that. These are all citations. You want as many of those out there as possible. All right, so again, if you want me to answer your question, just DM me on Instagram at Wes McDowell, and I will answer it in an upcoming episode. All right, hope you guys have a great week, but until then, I want you to make it real and take action on everything we talked about here today. Bye for now.